wanted to talk to you this evening about marriages. Good marriages don't happen by accident. They just don't. They take a lot of work. Lynn and I still work on it, and I expect to do that till the day that one of us isn't around anymore. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 33, and I know there's lots that goes before, and I'll make reference to some of that, but there's two building blocks that are essential if you're going to have the right kind of a marriage. It just is a necessity, and you're going to have to work at it. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33, kind of summing up everything, it says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular," speaking to the men, "so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband." There's two key things in a marriage that I think that people don't have a good grasp on today. The most important thing for the man, listen, men, is unconditional love. You need to unconditionally love your wife. Why do I say that? You know, after you live together a long time, hold your finger here, turn to Colossians 3:19. After you live together a long time, maybe even not so long as husband and wife, you can lose that. In Ephesians or Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "Husbands, love your wives." And then it says this, "And be not bitter against them." Husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. When you get to know each other, when you get to know each other's faults, it's real easy for a man to begin to take his wife for granted, to be bitter against her, to really have a wall build up between you and her. So many marriages that I see that continue on, they become loveless utilitarian relationships to protect finances and property. Man, I never want my marriage to be like that. My marriage isn't like that. Men, when it talks about and the husband see that he love his wife, that's talking about the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 love, and we don't have time to go through all of that situation there. It's not necessarily the amorous type of love or any of that sort of things, but it's making the choice to love your wife. It's the agape love. It's putting forth the effort. I know you guys work hard. I know you got a lot on your mind. I know it's not easy in these days. But if you are going to keep the right kind of relationship, you need to unconditionally love your wife. And you need to take some effort to do that. Now, a wife would tell her husband that, yes, he should unconditionally love me, but now I'm going to talk to the ladies. The second half of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33 is this. "And the wife see that she reverence her husband." The word reverence there means to respect. And you know what? Just as the husband is to unconditionally love his wife, so the wife is to unconditionally respect her husband. Say, I never heard that before. Well, wait a minute. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. say, my husband isn't living for the Lord. He doesn't treat me right. Why should I respect him? He's a jerk. Well, 1 Peter chapter 3, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now, don't take your pencil and erase this out. That if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation, the behavior of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, coupled with reverence, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of the gold, and the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in the which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Meek and a quiet spirit doesn't mean you don't say anything. Meek and a quiet spirit means you say it under control. Actually, it means you say a meek and a quiet spirit talks about saying it sitting down. In other words, you're not saying, and you're not nagging them. I'd recommend a book to you. I don't like the Bible translation they use, but I like the content that I've read. I'm over 100 pages into it, about 120 pages into it. It's Emerson Eggerich's book, Love and Respect. I believe that the basic need of every woman is to be loved according to the Scriptures. I believe that the basic need of every husband is to be respected. And love and respect are two keys to building a proper biblical marriage relationship. I also want to throw in a plug for commitment here. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, verse 6. I'll read a portion that says, in Matthew 19, verse 6, in fact, I'll just read the whole thing. Matthew 19, verse 6, it says, and for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. That's verse 5. And the twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. And then it says this, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. One of the things that makes me ache the most these days, and I think if I could, I would quit doing weddings altogether. And I'm as serious as I can be. Is that young men and young women come into my office and they do not have a clue about what commitment is. They figure, well, if it doesn't work out, let's get a divorce. You know that divorce amongst the Christian community is even a hair higher than it is in the unsaved community? I'm going to tell you something. When you say I do, you did. You better stick with it. And I know there's some extenuating circumstances, and I don't expect a wife to stay in a relationship and get pounded on, but I'm never going to counsel anybody to get a divorce. I am going to counsel them to get help and try and restore the relationship and learn how to put things together and learn to love and learn to respect. But the truth is, God designed marriage to be one man for one woman for one lifetime. No apologies. That's the way that it is. Now, if you've had the tragedy of a divorce, I'm not denying that divorce has happened, but if you're married right now, you better hold to this. If you've had a tragedy of a divorce in the past, I'm not going to address that, but I'm going to say you better stick with this. Commitment. What God has joined together, just calm down, David. Many couples come to the marriage altar with selfish, unrealistic expectations. Some of them come to the marriage altar and their spouses have lied to them. The ones they're married have lied to them. Some of them come so quick, and one of the biggest problems today is that young men and young women don't get to know each other as friends because they start with the physical stuff way too soon. And by the way, it is a shame for a man to fondle a woman before that 1 Corinthians 7. But you need to get to know each other. It was so interesting. I got thinking about all the girls I dated and not real pleased about it, but all of them were in one church group or the other church group. And they all had their heads fairly screwed on right. But Linda was above the rest. Seriously. And we got to know each other, writing back and forth, and I got phone bills to prove it. But we did get to know each other. I was a long ways away and didn't get home all the time, but between letters, phone conversations, and when I did get home and when I could get off work, we built up a friendship, and that friendship continues to this day. There's no such thing as a storybook marriage. It isn't there. There's no such thing as a marriage that's perpetual bliss. I'm an imperfect man. She's an imperfect woman. And if you keep your eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, you try and grow spiritually and you try and grow together. And men, the reason that God tells you that you need to love your wife is because that's going to be the hardest for you. And ladies, the reason that the Bible tells you that you need to respect your husband, you need to reverence your husband, that's going to be the hardest for you. Love and respect, that needs to be there. The secret fuel that keeps the love fires burning is total commitment of one partner to the other. That we're going to work through it. Much to my chagrin, I told the class, I might as well tell you, but I got mad one time when I was in college and I stomped out of the house. She didn't know where I was going. She didn't know if I was coming back. And when I came back, she meekly said to me, "Please don't do that again. We'll work it out, whatever needs to be worked out." I'm stomped out again. Oh, have we had difficulties? Yeah. And I've also told her, "We'll come back and talk about it. I'm going to the office to study for a while. I'm going this. I'm going for a walk." You need to make it obvious to your spouse that you're committed to the marriage. Be committed to that marriage and be committed to be satisfied with your spouse. Somebody's always said the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, and I've said this before, but most people don't even know what this is, but when I was growing up, we had septic tanks. We didn't have city sewer. You know where the grass is always greenest? Yeah, it was over the septic tank. We have a few little ones here, but I'd recommend to you to read Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 15 through 23. It says, "Drink waters out of your own cistern and rejoice with the wife of your youth." And then it says, "Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love." You know what your focus is to be? You know, men, I know you get tired. I know you get preoccupied. I know all those type of things. But you know what? Your wife yearns to be your special sweetheart. I get a kick out of Mrs. Darrow. Excuse me, Mrs. Darrow. I brought flowers to my wife the other day, and she said, "Oh, I should probably leave the room." You know what? You don't have to be on a perpetual binge to buy flowers. Well, I'm not saying that. But your wife wants to know that she's your special sweetheart. That keeps the marriage relationship alive. And your husband wants to know that you look at him as more than a paycheck. He wants your respect, ladies. You know, you ask men whether they would rather be loved or rather be respected, and you know what? 90% of the time, they'll say they want to be respected. They've done, I'm not talking through my hat. That's a survey that's done. And it's really quite clear in the Bible, but commitment. You know, the Pharisees said, you know, if that's the way that it is, that you're married for a lifetime, then it's probably better not to get married. Well, yeah, if you aren't planning on it being for a lifetime, then don't get married and don't come to me and ask me to marry you. Because I don't want to marry you. I tell the couples who I marry, this is it. Are you sure? And I tell them too, if you're not sure about this, I'd rather have you walk out at the rehearsal than get married and then say, a year or two later, oh, it was a mistake, we're getting a divorce. And you know what? In my years of ministry, I've had that happen twice, where it was broken up very close to the wedding. But you know what? It's better to lose the money that you paid for the things and not get married than to get married and think that you have a trap door out of it. You want God's blessing? Men, love your wife. Wives, respect your husband, and then make sure that you're committed to your spouse. To work it out. To work it out. To get the help that's needed. Don't be too proud to say, you know, dealing with a situation just recently, and I said, why didn't you come and talk to me? Oh, Pastor, we were embarrassed. Oh, so file for a divorce then, yeah? You know, I mean, that's stupid. That's just plain stupid. And these aren't my ideas. This is the book. When you say I do, you did. And I don't care if your wife isn't lovable, you're supposed to love her. I don't care if your husband isn't respectable. I mean, I care, but you still need to respect him. That's what it's all about. And then please communicate. My wife needs to talk from time to time. I talk all the time and I don't like to talk much. But you know what? I try and be a willing listener and she'll talk and I'll listen and offer my 2 cents worth when I think it's being offered. And I remember one time she talked and talked and talked. And then she said, oh, I feel better. I probably said a dozen words. But you know, I want to go a second step. You got little kids at home? I'll tell you, by the time that your wife is there with those little kids, she is starving for some adult talk, men. She is starving to be able to talk with somebody that's on her level and who cares about her. You know what? I would not want to switch the roles. And then when you have to rear the children and homeschool them too, man, you better make some provision if you want sane wives. Because I'm going to talk to you about it. My kids know this, and I've preached this before from the pulpit. I just want you to know that wise couples will carve out some time for each other. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto a weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. If you want to keep the marriage relationship going, I understand all of the demands of the day. By the time you work and work overtime, by the time the wife keeps the house and schools the kids and chases after the kids and minds the castle, wise couples will carve out some time for each other, date nights, if you want to talk, if you want to call it that. They will make sure that nurturing their relationship is a priority, despite job obligations, despite children, despite community. They need to care for each other enough to know what's going on in each other's life. You know, a lot of husbands and wives have no idea. They live separate lives. They have no idea what's going on in each other's life. And then you know what happens? Want to know what happens? Then all the kids grow up and move out. And then you know what happens? You've got two people who don't even know each other anymore. They sit next to each other in church. They don't have a clue what's going on in each other's lives. He's been so busy with his career, and sometimes she's been so busy with her career and with the kids. Or even if not, busy with the kids and busy being a mom and busy doing all those things. And you know what? You're left, and it's not the same two people that got married in 1969, 40 years ago. I wouldn't give up our private devotional time and our private prayer time and our private talk time. To be able to be the right kind of a pastor, you need to be able to have the right kind of a relationship with your wife, and most of the time I have that. Some of the times I don't. But marriage is not for selfish people. I was talking with Pastor Darrell. I like to talk to Pastor Darrell. He's a wise man. And one of the things that we were talking about the other day is I was dealing with a situation, and the person kept saying, well, what about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? Well, put a sock in it! If you were worried about all the what about me, you should never have kids, you should never get married, and you should just buy yourself a mirror. Ooh, don't I look good? Having kids? You can't rear kids properly and be selfish. You kidding? Or you end up with terrors. You will. Mark my words. You're the husband in the thing, and you're worried about what about you, what about you, what about the boys, what about the... You know what? I can name on one hand the close men friends that I have that I would even care to spend time with. I've made a hobby out of serving the Lord, pardon me, but God's used it. That's the reason that a bunch of us started Logos Communication Consortium. We figured, why not use our hobby time to serve the Lord? And so we've written some tracks. We've made some presentations. We've made some videos. We have a website. last I know, 3 million people had hit that website. Some of the stuff I wrote 15 years ago, Pastor Darrell wrote 15 years ago, and you know what? Preacher, I got a thing the other day, said that was a good article, and it was one that you'd written on there, and I got another one, said, Preacher, that article was really helpful. And then I got another one says, oh, you're all wet on your view on music. Well, that's all right. At least they read it. But a successful marriage isn't going to be made up of selfish people. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 29 is tragic. So many times in marriage counseling, I hear the dirty, filthy names that spouses call each other when they get in arguments. 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from among you with all malice. And then it says this, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Don't get married if you're not willing to forgive. Don't get married if you're not willing to forgive. Do not get married if you're not going to be willing to forgive. I've told you this too, but I'm going to tell you again. The lady who came into my office years ago and smacked this notebook down about like this and smacked it on my desk. Christian lady. This is all the things my husband has done to me over the past 30 years. You know, the woman looked like she had sucked 97 lemons every day, and now I know why. You know, let not the sun go down on your wrath. I mean, you know, deal with situations. I understand all that, but I'm glad that I married a forgiving woman. And she's married a fairly decent, forgiving man. But if God should mark iniquity, you know that none of us would stand here. Not a single one of us. And so, if you said I do, you have a responsibility. Like it or lump it, you have a responsibility. And like it or lump it, you will give account to God. Yes, but she hurt my feelings. He's been so mean to me. Work it out. Get the help. Get into the Word of God. Shape up your act. Take the step that's needed. I mean, no woman's going to stay around I'm not endorsing divorce or anything of the kind, but men, you need to love. Women, you need to respect. And put off the charade and put aside the selfishness. Get yourself right with God. And if you want to have a good marriage, it's your choice. I can't wait to get home tonight with my wife. There's nobody. You say, well, what are you going to do? You've been married 40 years. You know what I'm going to do? I'll tell you exactly what I'm going to do. She'll help me. I'm going to put my dad to bed, clean him up and put him to bed. I'm going to go get ready for bed myself, and she is. I'm going to ask her to get 2 dilly bars out of the refrigerator. I'm going to go get into my bed next to my wife. I'm going to put in a Jag. That was an old rerun, a military rerun. My daughter used to work for the Jag. I got hooked on Jag a long time ago. Carlos, all your fault. But anyway, and you know what? I'm going to eat my dilly bar, and about half through JAG, I'm going to go to sleep. And she's going to watch the rest of it and tell me what was on in the morning. And you know what? I'm going to enjoy every minute of it. See, I've never called my wife my old lady. She's not my old lady. She's the precious wife of my youth and the gracious wife of my old age. Because I've gotten crankier as I've got older. And I have to work on that. But you know what? I wouldn't trade her. And yet I know some people who do not want to go home to their spouses because they can't stand them. And you know what? There's some of them sitting right here in this auditorium. My recommendation to you, and now I'm going to spill the beans. Tomorrow, my three grown children, their spouses are taking me out and Linda out for anniversary dinner. And I'm going to change my name to Luigi. Because we're going to DeCarlo's. But what they don't know is that I'm going to give them a book and a workbook they didn't know until now. And it's the book by Emerson Eggerich called Love and Respect. And I'm going to ask him to read it because I'm in the process of reading it myself. And my wife and I are going to be reading through it this year. You say, you've been married 40 years. Yeah. You know, if the Lord tarries, I'd like to be married another 20 or 30. And it still takes work. Well, I kind of shared from the heart with you this evening. But you can have the marriage kind of either way you want. I like mine warm. Going to work on keeping it warm. And I'm going to be done because I've gone way over time and I want to get home and have a dilly bar and watch JAG.